The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice dens. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all the holy mount. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covereth the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for a sign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. I want to use as a text, a passage of scripture taken from the book of Psalms, the second psalm, the last verse, Psalm 2 and verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in the Lord. On Wednesday nights, we've been studying from the book of Isaiah, and this 11th chapter starts out describing or explaining the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then begins to talk about the anointing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, the 11th chapter is a very messianic chapter. It's filled with the prophecy regarding the wisdom, the counsel, the might, the power, and the ability of the Son of God to provide us redemption and provide us eternal life. There's a lot wrapped up in those verses of Scripture. I've logged over 600 hours of study in just the first 11 chapters of the book of Isaiah. When I got to these particular passages of Scripture, I was rejoicing. I began to sit down and write down a variety of things that the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. There's a lot that the Lord Jesus did when He arrived upon the earth. There was a lot to be done for the redemption of mankind. There was a lot to be done in the establishing of His kingdom. In that Psalms 2, that's basically what it's talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ establishing His kingdom despite the rage and the rejection of men. The Jews rejected Him, but He still established His kingdom. There were those that were opposed to Him and tried to destroy Him. The kings raged against Him, Herod and Pilate and many others. And there was a lot of objection and rejection of what the Lord Jesus Christ was going to do. But the Heavenly Father said, in spite of all of their opposition and in spite of all of their contradiction, He still is the Son of God. He is, as that psalmist said in the second Psalms, he said that He would. He said, Thou art my Son in verse 7. And He says, this day have I begotten thee. He went on to be our Redeemer and the recoverer of fallen man. But many don't understand all that is entailed. There was a lot to be accomplished. The extensiveness of it. The tediousness of it. There was a lot that Jesus had to confront. I mentioned last week how that He had to come and He had to satisfy the justice of God and also be the justifier of fallen man. He not only satisfied God, but He had to come and sanctify the sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ had a very complex work to do. There's a lot to discover as you study the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, when you start looking into the work of the Lord, the ministry of the Lord, what He came to do for fallen man, it's like pi to the mathematician. It's like a new universe to the astronomer. It's the half has not yet been told. It rivals the field of study. There are a lot of things that we try to realize and understand about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians chapter 15, around verse 42, in verse 24 and 42, he begins to talk about the federal headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. How that the Lord Jesus Christ became the second Adam. He said that the first Adam died, but the second Adam, he's alive. And he said all die in Adam or they're made alive in the second Adam. Listen, you'll either die in your forefather Adam who was in the garden or you'll live in the Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's either one or the other. But Jesus, in his federal headship as the second Adam, he was the Son of Man as well as the Son of God. He was a person within the human race that had to recover and restore and redeem the human race. And he did just that. He came into this world and he became a man. He was a man born of woman under the law to redeem those that were under the law. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Now, there's a lot of things that are very difficult to understand about this. But we do realize one thing. I mean, common sense tells us that it's harder to recover than it is to fall. It's easy to fall into drug addiction, but it's hard to recover. It's easy to tell a lie. It's hard to be honest. It's easy to do the wrong thing, but it's hard to do the right thing. I could go on and on about this. But the bottom line is this. There was a lot more that was done to fix the problem than what caused the problem. A lot more was done. He had to recreate as well as reestablish. Those conditions that occurred in the fall had to be redeemed. And he had to establish a new order of things based upon the law of reconciliation. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 that there's been no greater foundation laid than that which was laid by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. He laid a foundational platform under the laws of redemption that are established to cause an interaction and an acceptance with a holy God. The intensity and the difficulty associated with that is hard for us to imagine and comprehend. But I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ received the anointing to accomplish all that needed to be accomplished to redeem the human race. Can you imagine every word that the Lord Jesus Christ said was eternal? Can you imagine his life had to correspond with 6,000 years of prophecy? Listen, nothing was missing from the equation. He was the perfect Lamb of God. And if he wasn't perfect, he would have plunged the whole human race into an eternal abyss. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 that the Son of God, that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And it says in verse 9 that he, being made perfect, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ is a perfect Savior. He is the perfect Lamb of God. He is the perfect Lord. He is the perfect King. He is perfect in all that He did, all that He said, in the way that He lived His life. The Bible says He being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation. To all them that obey Him. Listen, if you'll submit and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will be your Savior. And He'll be a perfect Savior. Perfect Savior. I can't imagine the pressures that Jesus was under. I really can't. I've tried to wrap my head around it over the last couple of months, and it's just been mind-boggling. It really has been. I thought my mind was going to explode on a couple of occasions.
Yeah, all that Jesus has done for us. I look over my life and my personal responsibilities as a husband and as a grandfather and as a father. My responsibilities as a church member. My responsibilities as a pastor. My responsibilities as a citizen. And my responsibilities as a neighbor. And how it affects so many different people's lives. And I feel the weightiness of it. And I've not always been perfect at it. Should have got a bunch of amens on that, I guess. But I've been able to repent and dust myself off and start afresh. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, He could not make any mistakes. And He did not make any mistakes. And if He did make a mistake, it didn't just affect those simply around Him. It affected the whole world. Not only those that were in His time, not only those that would be in the future, but all the world from in the history past. Sometimes we put just emphasis upon Jesus dying for us, and He did. Praise the Lord. But He did more than that, didn't He? He was born for us. He lived for us. Yes, He bore the law for us. He kept the law for us. He established the covenant for us, and He kept the old covenant for us. He sanctified us. He redeemed us. He justified us. He established a kingdom for us. He empowers us. He fills us. He's with us today. In power, He's with us. Praise the Lord. Yeah, He makes us holy and faultless and blameless before the Holy God. He intercedes for us, and He is our advocate. He lives for us. He rose for us. He ascended for us. He's seated at the right hand of the Father for us, and He's coming for us one day. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, He still guards us. He speaks to us. He holds us. He's going to judge us and reward us. Listen, He's more than just the one who died for us. He's everything to us. He is our all and all. But balancing. Let me go back to Isaiah 11. I'm not going to go through this. I do this on Wednesday night. Go through this in a verse by verse, word for word. But the balance, and let me just say this. Jesus came to bring peace. Listen, sin, chaos, curse, the cursedness of sickness, all of that stuff is the result of sin. Jesus came to bring peace. When you read these verses, the humiliation, him being of the root of Jesse, when you start reading about the administration, how that he was given these qualifiers of being anointed to preach the gospel to the poor and to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the empowering and the anointing that the Lord Jesus Christ received with wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and power. What was He doing? He was given help and aid in His human flesh. Listen, He was not only man, He was also God. But listen, He walked as a man. He lived as a man. He suffered as a man. He felt every aspect of the human race. The Bible says He was pointed, tempted in all points as we, yet without sin. He died as a man. And as He went through this and He balanced His humanity and His deity, He also balanced bondage and liberty, law and grace, wrath and mercy, death and life. All of these things were held in the balance, and the prophecy is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, Him coming to save us. Coming to save us. Listen, He didn't come to save the animals. These passages about the wolf and the lion and the child playing with snakes, He didn't come so children could play with snakes. He came to save lost humanity. This is poetic. It moves into a poetic structure. It is not literal. Now, I know the Jehovah's Witnesses and Listen, I invite any Jehovah Witness to come to my door. Yes. But when they reach back into passages of Scripture of obscurity and they hurl them into the theological fantasy, I'm going to call them on the carpet and hold them to the context. You either have to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was anointed and empowered while He walked on this earth to save lost humanity or to save the animals. I know Peter liked this passage. I know. There are some that take this in a literal way, but they spiritualize it. I mean, they really do. When you hold their feet, I've got some friends that believe that this is a literal, that this is going to literally happen, that was the intent of the prophet, to see a literal, lion eating grass. But when you hold their feet to the fire, to the context, because you have to conclude that he came to save the animals. The anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ was for the animals. If you hold it to the context and take it literal. But when you do that to them, then they spiritualize it. Well, it's a literal condition, but it's expressing a spiritual, more spiritual condition of peace, unity, and tranquility. And those that believe it's poetic and figurative also believe that it spiritually means tranquility, peace, and unity. So they come to the same conclusion. They just get there through a different route. Right? They sure do. The problem I have, I'm going to tell you something. Something literal in Scripture, somebody being given the liberty to spiritualize it, scares the fire out of me. That's dangerous. I mean, the Bible tells us it is an abomination for a man to lie with a man. And I'm going to stand on God's holy word that is plain in Scripture. It is an abomination and it is wrong. And for somebody to take that and try to spiritualize it, you see the danger, don't you? You can't spiritualize literal. Unless God does it some way in His Word, and gives you liberty to do that. The Bible, when it says something, it means something. And we have no right to alter it or interpret it and spiritualize it when the Bible is plainly spoken on certain issues. I'll tell you what, this whole same-sex thing is about to make, it makes me sick. Sick at my stomach. I know God is disgusted with our nation and some of the politicians and some of the churches, some of His own people. Listen, we need to stand up on God's holy word. And when you call attention to what the Bible says, and it just literally says that, they want to take and spiritualize it. It is dangerous to take something literal and spiritualize it in your interpretation. But something that's already poetic and figurative, you have to spiritualize it, right? Liberty is given in that department. Anyway, I didn't want to go here, but I did anyway. But the balance. I want to get back to the Lord Jesus Christ. You do believe the Lord Jesus Christ's peace is eternal, don't you? It is from everlasting to everlasting. I don't believe the gates of hell will prevail against the church. He will not overthrow His people. He will not overthrow the peace that He came to bring. The devil cannot overthrow that peace that the Lord Jesus came to bring. But that balance of humanity, of being the Son of Man and Son of God, coming to satisfy and sanctify and solidify, to justify and judicate, I can't say it right, bring down those things that are up and bring up those things that are down. The Lord Jesus Christ had a lot to do, a lot to accomplish while He was here. There was a lot of bobbing and weaving and ebbing and flowing between humanity and deity that we will never fully understand. And if somebody does understand it, I question whether they really have studied it. He was qualified to come in on that donkey in Jerusalem. He's qualified to come on that white horse. Amen. Yes, He is. Yeah. Yeah. He spoke this world into existence. And He is qualified to call upon the dead to rise. He was the seed of the woman, but He also was capable of crushing the serpent's head. And He did crush the serpent's head. That's why He is Alpha and Omega. That's why He's the beginning and the end. That's why He's the bright and the morning star. From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. It's hard for us to understand Him being the steward and the manager. It's hard for us to imagine Him being the servant and the Lord. But He was. He was. He was the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost all wrapped up in one. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Him bodily. I don't know how to explain that. That's just what the Word of God says, and I believe it. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. He came to destroy the curse, and He also became the curse for us. He fulfilled the old, and He brought in the new. He established the old, and He brought in the new. Yes, He justifies us. He glorifies us. He redeems us. He saves us. He is the only Savior. There's no other way but the Lord Jesus Christ. But calculating or evaluating the administration of what He did in such a short time, He holds the office of high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He holds the office of king and sits on the throne of David. He also holds the office of prophet of prophets, where that He gave all the prophets witness. Bible says that He is worthy to open the seals and look thereon. He is worthy to walk in the midst of the golden candlesticks. He is worthy to hold the stars in His right hand. He is head of the church. Listen, He is head of this universe. All of the world's history unfolds in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and He's resting His feet upon this earth until all of the enemies are put under Him. He's head of creation. We read in Colossians 2 and 10. What am I saying? All that the Lord Jesus Christ did, all that He has done, all that He will do, you need to kiss the Son. I was visiting with Evelyn the other day, day before yesterday. And we had just a wonderful prayer together, and I was holding her hand, and we were praying. And you know, it don't take much to get Evelyn excited. And she gets happy in the Lord. We get talking and praying about, thinking about heaven. And I got done and she kissed my hand. And I knew what that kiss meant. A kiss of respect. You know? Listen, the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Son of God. He is highly lifted up. He will smite the nations with a rod from His mouth. In other words, with His word shall He destroy this world. He spoke this world into existence. And when He says enough is enough, He will call the curtains on this world and this world will come to an end. Yeah. Yeah. He's head of all creation. Bible says we are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities. Do you believe that? He is head of all principalities and all powers. Listen, Jesus Christ, He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is Elohim. He is El Shaddai. He is Jehovah Jireh. Listen, He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He's President of presidents. He's Governor of governors. He's Commander of commanders. Listen, you need to kiss the Son, lest He be angry with you. You need to fall down in submission to Him. You need to surrender to Him. You need to call upon Him. You need to repent to Him. You need to believe in Him. You need to trust in Him with all of your heart, because He is coming. He's coming. The King is coming. And He's coming in power and in great glory. He holds the preeminence. And listen, if you'll come to Him, you'll find Him to be the joy of life. Yes, you'll find Him to be the joy of the earth. He is the joy of heaven. He's the joy of the angels. He's the joy of the Father. He's the joy of the church. He's the joy of His people. And you'll experience a joy that passes all understanding. It'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory. He's the glory of the earth. He's the glory of the church. He's the glory of heaven. He's the glory of all. Listen, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't know His eternal weight of glory, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry with you. Listen, there's a time and there's an opportunity for you to find the Lord, to know the Lord, to experience the Lord. Because in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's healing. There's help. There's hope. There's eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no other way but the Lord Jesus Christ to have that eternal life. Listen, He's going to smite this earth with the rod of His mouth. It's recorded in the second Psalm. It's recorded in the 11th chapter of Isaiah. It's recorded in the book of Revelation. He's going to smite this earth with the rod of His mouth. Listen, when He comes, you better be ready. You better be acquainted with the words of His mouth. What are the words of His mouth? He said, repent or perish, didn't He? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, he that believeth on me, he'll never perish. Listen, if you've not repented of your sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to kiss the Son, lest He be angry with you. The Lord Jesus Christ, He knows everything, doesn't He? He knows you're down, sitting, you're uprising. Yes, He knows. No one shall ever escape His presence. They'll run for the rocks and the mountains and cry for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of the Lamb. But He knows where you are. He knows where your heart is before Him today. And if you're not right in His sight, if He is not your Savior, if He's not your Redeemer, if He's not your propitiation, if He's not your expiation, if He's never justified you in the sight of God, if He's not your Savior and Lord, He knows that. And you need to call upon Him. You need to kiss the Son, lest He be angry with you. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's everlasting to everlasting. He has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Amen? You know, one of the things that He came to accomplish was to overthrow the grave. And that's why He's the captain of our salvation. That's why we fall in behind Him. And He did. On the third day. Didn't He? I have more to say about that next Sunday. He came alive. He came forth. He conquered the grave. And when He conquered the grave, see, death couldn't hold Him. Death. He lived His life. Okay, here was the plan. Here was the blueprint. Okay. He was to live His life in such a way that at the end of His life, when He paid the sin debt on the cross, that death could not hold Him. And on the third day, and see, it wasn't a solo thing. Okay, this event was to break the chains of death. That's why the Bible says that when in the book of Matthew, that when He came out of the grave, there was such a tailwind that even other people came out of the grave that had already been dead. And they were walking around Jerusalem. Wow, what just happened? How did I get out of this grave? Why? Because the grave had been the chains, the barrier, the partition between the grave and eternal life had been torn down. found by the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, He went down into the depths of Hades and He ascended to the Holy of Holies. I got to stop. What I'm telling you this morning is you need to kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. His glory is forever and ever, and of His kingdom there will be no end. He holds the scepter to rule this world. In His words are healing. In His words are power. He has the words to save you. He can give you eternal life. He can give you those things that pertain to eternal life. One of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to judge us. Amen? He's going to judge us according to the books, according to His words that have been recorded. You need to listen. You need to be ready. You need to be listening to the Word of God. You need to be heeding these instructions. You need to heed the Holy Ghost when it says in Psalms 2 and 12, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry with you." He has the capacity. He not only has the capacity, He has the right to rule the dead and the living. Paul said that he is Lord both of the dead and the living, right? He said, whether I live or whether I die, He's Lord! He's Lord! Listen, He went to the cross of Calvary. He humbled Himself, the Bible says. Yes, He humbled Himself, being found as fashioned a man, though He was equal with God. He humbled Himself. There was a humiliation. He humbled Himself. He became obedient to the cross. He became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow of things in the heaven. Think about that. Everything that's in heaven and of things of the earth. Everybody that's ever walked the face of the earth, even those that are under the earth. Listen, I could go to various passages of Scripture and show you even some proof of that. But even those under the earth, what's going to happen? Yes, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that the Lord Jesus, He is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Yes, there's humiliation. And there was meticulous aspects of the administration. There's an exaltation and a glorification that's coming. I appreciate you listening to me. That's why we come each Sunday and we bring our frankincense and myrrh and we lay it at His feet, don't we? Yeah. He's worthy to be worshipped and praised. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. Love Him. Admire Him. Trust Him. Believe in Him. Depend upon Him. Let Him be your all in all. We are complete in Him, aren't we? We sure are. Listen, there was a lot done to provide redemption. You can't redeem yourself. He not only completed and fulfilled the law, but He came and ushered in grace. In Him is grace. There's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fullness of grace of Him, there's grace. If you'll stand, we'll sing a verse of song. There may be somebody here today. Listen to me. Kiss the Son. Fall beneath Him. Humble yourself. Listen, whatever you're hanging on to, let go of it. Surrender to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrender to Him. Adore Him. Make Him your Savior and your Lord. Would you come today? Would you come today? Listen, He is worthy to judge you. Actually, the Father has committed all judgment to the Son. He's worthy to judge you because He became a man. And He will judge you. He'll judge the small and the great. Amen? He'll judge the small and the great. You better be ready. You're going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to see those eyes full of fire. And you'll see that sword that comes forth from His mouth. The Lord Jesus Christ has commanded you to repent of your sins and believe upon Him. And you will be judged if you don't do so. Let's sing. Is there somebody here today? Somebody here lost and in sin, never been saved by the grace of God? Trust Him. Trust Him today.